General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushbelts of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
In the early days of this century, a certain Dr. Decker ran a mission station in the wilds of the northeastern Transvaal. It was built among trees close by a native village and consisted of a large wooden bungalow, a church, and a hospital of 25 beds. Adrian Decker was an elderly man who catered for both the spiritual and material needs of his natives. Like all missionaries, he had his problems. By far the biggest threat to his mission was a leopard. An albino leopard, a ghost leopard which ate men, and, swore the witch doctors, had been sent from the devil to prove to the people that the white man's ways were evil. This leopard was an exceptional beast. It was untrappable, unkillable. It had been seen no more than 5 times in the 6 months it had plagued the district. 6 months, during which it had accounted for the lives of 18 men, 17 black and 1 white. The white man had come to capture the animal alive, but the hunted had become the hunter, and he had died. Decker's authority began to wane. His church was almost empty on Sundays. Few natives came to the little hospital to be cured. It was a desperate man who sat down to write to his church superiors in Johannesburg when Henry Rickett and Ian Miller arrived, both on the same day, and both within an hour of one another, to hunt the white devil. It was late afternoon when the hunters came. Retief had been received royally by the old missionary, who saw in the Afrikaner a solution to his problems. It had taken years to build the station and win the confidence of the people. Decker was terrified that all this was to be destroyed by an albino cat. The doctor hadn't had time to find out just what it was that distinguished Retief from ordinary men when Miller arrived.
Afternoon. Dr. Decker, I presume.
I'm Decker, yes, sir. I haven't a claim to fame that would equal that of the gentleman to whom those splendid words were originally uttered. I'm Adrian Decker, though. Come see me?
Name's Miller, Ian Miller.
How do you do, Mr. Miller? Henry Retief.
Miller?
For a second, both hunters eyed one another and knew at once that they'd come to the mission station for the same thing.
What can I do for you, Mr. Miller? A drink?
Thank you. You've a leopard that's troubling you, Doc?
Leopard? I certainly have. Mr. Miller, it gives me great pleasure to see you. Meet a compatriot. Henry Retief is also a hunter. Gentlemen, this is splendid. 2 guns are perhaps better than one. Mr. Miller, I'll get you.
Thanks, but I haven't come with a gun, Doctor. At least I have a gun, but I'm not shooting the leopard with it.
So, you've come for the leopard as well, Mr. Retief.
I've come across the border from Mozambique. Yourself?
Your drink, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
You said you're not shooting the leopard, Mr. Miller.
Cheers.
Miller?
That was wonderful. I want the leopard alive.
Zoological or private collector?
Neither.
Please excuse me, Mr. Miller. I'll have a roommate ready for you.
Oh, extraordinary kind of you, Doctor.
Not at all. And believe me, whether Mr. Retief here shoots the white devil or you, Mr. Miller, traps it, so long as it vanishes from this district, I shall be equally happy. Now, I have a lot of work at the hospital, please. Should you require any more liquor, well, just help.
Neither a private collector or a zoological garden. Why do you want the leopard, Miller?
Well, I want to make money. Well, I'll find a buyer once I've trapped the leopard. Better help.
If it's leopard. So don't let. You aren't going to take this leopard away alive, Miller. I'll see to that.
What was that about the white devil?
The natives call it white devil. Comes from the devil, they say. I said, you aren't going to take it away alive.
Comes from the devil, eh?
Don't laugh at their superstitions, you know. Men have before now died.
You're here to kill the leopard.
Yeah. More drink?
Why? No, thanks. Man, you must be a fool. Alive, this leopard, this white devil leopard, worth a lot of money. That's thousands. Dead, worth.
This leopard killed 17 natives. One white man. White man was my brother Young.
And who?
My brother Young. So I killed the leopard. And it's a simple man, yeah.
Strange. Because I mean to catch it alive. Don't try and stop me, will you? Now the drink. Don't look at me like that, Rajiv. The cat doesn't become yours just because you killed your brother.
Where I come from, we show a little respect for the dead. You see?
My dear fellow, I wasn't aware of any disrespect. I merely stated that I intended to trap a leopard, a white leopard. I'm sorry your brother's dead, but you see the beast is now valuable to a collector and a killer of so many men, an albino into the bargain. Well, I mean,
money means so much to you.
Certainly does.
Henry Retief stood still, his small eyes half closed. He was used to men shouting, threatening. He didn't know how to act when a man just smiled and offered a drink.
Sit down, Retief.
How do you think you're going to catch this white devil? Trap?
Perhaps.
When do you start?
In the morning, dawn. Please don't get in my way, will you? I'll fetch that drink.
Leopard's mine. The kid is young.
Retief. You want to kill it, I want to catch it alive. Why don't we join forces? Catch it alive.
A sporting offer. No? If you shoot it, you'll get nothing. Except perhaps the satisfaction that you killed the cause of your brother's death. But nothing material. Alive, we sell to the highest bidder. Well, what do you say?
My vengeance is no price.
Most impressive. Very biblical. And don't be too disappointed when I catch the thing, will you? Your drink.
If you catch it, Maria. If you catch it.
Drink.
And whilst two men sat, deciding the fate of the killer itself walked silently, gracefully through the thick bush, less than a mile from Dekker's house. The coat upon its lean, powerful body was white, pure white, and when the sunlight fell upon it, shimmering ghosts of purple, vague but deep, darted among hidden, spotted patterns that proved the animal to be a true leopard. Tail flicked side to side, softly, a never written upon paper poem. The animal reached a thick trunk and peered into the spreading foliage above. Suddenly it leapt without a sound and disappeared. An observer, a man who could fly like a bird, would have followed and observed the white one walking slowly along a branch at a right angle from the ground. The leopard lay down upon the branch, and the sun drowned itself in the distance where the natives believed the world ended in darkness and confusion. And in his isolation,
isolated hut in the deepest bush. The witch doctor burned herbs and powders and called upon the dark powers to destroy the white devil leopard. He'd been paid by the chief to do so. He wore a shirt of monkey tails and a fox head skin on his head. About his feet on the dung floor were the bones. Bones of animals, small and large. Teeth, too. And a small leather bag containing dried and powdered roots, powdered reptile blood, fats of crocodile, lion, and leopard. Chan Yui, the doctor, was performing the ritual of death. Seven days passed, days of activity. Ian Miller constructed his traps and talked to the natives. He hired a tracker and even paid a visit to Chan Yui, the witch doctor. Henry Retief purchased a goat and upon 8 occasions waited concealed for the leopard, the goat tied to a stake a short distance from him. Both men made journeys into the surrounding bush for miles. Both men returned each day without having seen a leopard. The killings ceased. Both hunters began to wonder if the great white cat had moved on, putting miles between the mission and its hunting grounds. The natives, who were delighted by the new white men's presence, and hoped that they would stay forever, had no theories concerning the whereabouts of the devil. 2 weeks. 3. Had there been a killer leopard? The natives forgot. Short memories. Their maker blessed them in this way. And then, in one short night...
Last night, a mile and a half away, that's all. 4 people in one night. Surely the creature's demented. What kind of animal is this?
An angry animal. Mad animal.
4 people. 2 of them were children.
Buckner, would the people of the village let me sit up over one of the carcasses?
You mean?
Yes.
Oh, come now, Retief. Unusually squeamish, aren't you? Asking permission.
What Henry means is, will the people agree? If they don't, and he still tries, he'll get a spear in his back for his trouble. They won't agree, Henry. I can assure you of that. The bodies cannot lie on the ground. It's blasphemy. The goat will have to suffice.
Goat? After human blood, a goat?
I know these people. They're frightened again now. They've forgotten the leopard. Now...
It doesn't kill just for food. Not 4 people. 1 thing, Miller. You can't carry your traps around. The white devil's moved. You might spend the rest of your life making traps, and the leopard will move on somewhere else.
Miller walked away and got ready to leave. He journeyed to the village of the new deaths with Makuza, the tracker, and Retief followed. The bodies of the slain had been removed. They lay inside 3 huts on the village outskirts. The witch doctors performed the last rites, and the villagers listened silently. Goats were hard to find, but both the white men obtained one. Retief followed the spoor of the big leopard and tied his small bleating animal to a stake and settled it down for a long wait. Miller bribed 4 natives to dig a pit a mile from the village in a triangle of crossed spoor. The men worked guiltily, for it was against the law to work manually before the burial of the slain one. Miller understood this and paid them well and treated them with kindness and consideration. His pit was covered with an expertise learned over long years. It was triangular itself. The 2 points at the base were trees, the sides thick bush, and the leopard would have to go into this triangle to reach the thinly bleating goat. And if anything larger than a bullfrog walked upon the thin covering, the pit would open.
Good, Makuza.
Yeah, boy.
Although a man with a gun, meaning to kill a leopard, stands a better chance. I'm tied here, to this pit, by Retief. All he has to do is kill.
He sat alone in the bush and thought. The chief moved his goat to within hailing distance of the other man, less than 100 yards from the concealed pit, and tied the unfortunate animal in a small clearing. the fourth night. Close to both white men, the baited death trap of Retief and the pit dug and not baited by Miller, lay a long, narrow pool of water. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Leopard came round to drink. It had seen the man lying in wait, and it had seen the goat tied to the stake. It knew there was a relationship between the man and the goat. The cat finished drinking. It was hungry. It would go back to the man and the goat. The goat was not dangerous. The man was. The leopard knew this, too, for it had killed goats, and it had killed men. Silently, it moved away from the pool into the undergrowth. Shortly before the albino had gone down to the pool, Miller had decided. This cat didn't want a goat. It wanted to kill men. Goat bait? Not for this white one. Therefore, there would have to be man bait. There would be no rush of volunteers, Miller decided. Only one man who dreamt of making a great deal of money. For money, one has to take risks. And as Ian Miller lay down upon the bush floor, cradling his rifle in his arm, he wondered if perhaps the price wasn't too great. The possible price.
If the trap doesn't work, I get one shot in, I suppose. Only the moon to see by. Well, about 3 seconds to make a perfect shot. I'd fail, of course.
And on its way back from the pool, to where it had observed the tied goat and the waiting man, the white devil passed the pit with its human bait. It padded silently forward and stared through the moonlight, which was thick like mist when lighted with a battery torch. Miller had closed his eyes for a second, and when he opened them again, he saw the great shining stars that were the leopard's eyes watching him.
It worked. Come on, Kim. Over here. I'm most tasty. Can assure you, a nice warm pit down there for you. Simple, too. Your killing days are done. You'll be safe now. Fall into my pit. I promise you a life of luxury. You won't even have to kill. Stay free, and Retief might get you. He's coming. He's worried, though.
2 paces forward. Only 4 yards from the pit's edge now. If it is possible for the cat to leap across and take the man.
Might the pit jump me? I'd be hard pressed to bring the gun up.
Hard pressed? Especially as you're lying on it, Mr. Mill. 2 feet. 1 foot. The beast stops now. He's frightened of something. The white devil.
Oh, he's beautiful. Beautiful.
All the time in the world. All the early morning hours. A foot from the tramp. The moonlight appears to become more intense, whiter. Whiter the light. White of the leopard. The cat deliberates. Miller relaxes and braces himself by turn. Minutes pass. Half an hour passes. The cat is still worried. And then, decision. In a second, decision. And during one of the Englishman's brief spills of relaxation, the white devil moves fast in the white moonlight.
Yes, oh, you beauty.
A white man rises, lays aside his rifle, and stares down into the blackness of the pit, stares down to where he can only hear the white leopard.
And that.
But someone else has heard the sound of the capture. Someone else waiting close by a tired, miserable goat, only a short distance away. And this one makes fast towards the growling and the fury, fast towards the triumph. The moonshine is stronger. It burns with a cold heat. Until Ian Miller fancies he sees the leopard deep in the pit.
No more death now. The end of killing for you, chummy.
And Retief arrives upon the scene. And in the moonlight, sees the black pit and the man standing at the highest point of the triangle.
Miller! Retief! I won, man. See? He's in there. Down there.
You've lost, man.
No! Stay where you are. Leave your gun alone.
Retief, what's the matter with you?
Don't be... I said leave that gun alone, man.
What's the matter with you, Henry? Don't point that thing at me. It might go off. Let me come down the side here. Tricky, I don't want to fall in, do I? Didn't leave myself much room. Didn't want the leopard to get to me. From the side, you see. I had to have him come across the pit.
Stay where you are. Stay, Miller. Thank you. Thank you for providing me with what I came for.
What? Look here. It's mine, Ricky. I trapped it. You're not going to... I used myself as bait.
That's all right, Miller. No one will ever know. Afterwards. You see? I'll drop you down there. He's angry. There won't be much left of you. Poor Miller. Fell into his own trap. I tried to save him, of course. I shot the leopard, you see. But I was too late.
The full meaning of Retief's word hit Miller. A physical blow. He glances to the right and to the left. Thick bush. Behind him, the trees. No quick way through. Before him, the pit.
Oh, come now, Retief. That could be murder. All because of a blasted white leopard.
All because of a blasted white leopard.
All right. Look, we'll go halves. We'll make a lot of money. I don't mind.
We won't go halves, Mr. Miller, on anything.
What do you want?
A dead leopard. A dead white leopard.
Well, you, it seems, call the tune. Now, I'll just get my gun and...
Stay where you are!
What, then? I will get my gun. But just let me come out of the way of the pit, confound you!
No! You have to die as well. To make it all complete, Mr. Miller. I am sorry, Mr. Miller.
You're mad! Why?
Because you might later be tempted when I'm not prepared. How could I ever trust you?
No, you can trust me. Retief, you can. Plastic man, I'm not one for revenge. Not like you. I just want to live. Retief! No, Retief.
I offer you an alternative. You're a coward.
Coward? Any man would be a coward. Situation like... Look, Retief, why don't we...
Prove to yourself that you are not a coward. Jump. Jump into the pit. You're going there anyway, man.
Jump. Heave.
And it was then that the Englishman saw, behind the teeth, the shadow. He couldn't help an involuntary movement of his head in the direction of the shadow. In a fraction of a second, the following thought raced through the teeth's mind. Was Miller tricking him? How could there be anything, anyone behind him? If he turned, Miller would grab the gun leaning against the tree. But there might just be someone. Decker? A native had come to... But having made up his mind to turn, the schoolmaster in the brain having ordered the limbs to act, it was too late for Retief. Makuza went forward like the wind and pushed Retief broad back at the man, shot forward and into space, and then down, down, down into the fury of the pit.
Yeah, well, of course. I'm
us again next week for another story of the African bush pheasant. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South Africa, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Acadian, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.